And because of that, we're suddenly a plucky little country, and people are telling your newspaper that your great city should be on our side?
Yes, Lieutenant. We put out a second edition last night, you see, after I'd found out that Captain Horrence was really Prince Heinrich. Did you know this at the time, sir?
Of course not, snapped Blouse.
And you, Private, Perks, would you have kicked him in the, would you have kicked him had you known?
Polly dropped a mug in her nervousness and looked at Blouse.
You may answer, of course, Perks, said the lieutenant.
Well, yes, sir, I would have kicked him. Harder, probably. I was defending myself, sir, Polly said, carefully avoiding further details. You couldn't be sure what someone like de Word would do with them.
Right, good, yes, said de Word. Then you might be pleased with this. Our cartoonist, Fizz, drew this for the special edition. It was on the front page. We've sold a record number of copies.
He handed her a flimsy piece of paper, which by the look of the creases had been folded many times.
It was a line drawing with lots of shading. It showed a huge figure with a large sword, a monstrous monocle, and a moustache as wide as a coat hanger, menacing a much smaller figure armed with nothing more than an instrument for lifting beats. In fact, there was a beat stuck on the end of it. At least, that was clearly what had been happening, right up to the point when the smaller figure, wearing a not-a-bad-attempt at an ins-and-outs shako and a face that slightly looked like Polly's, had kicked the other one squarely in the groinal regions. A sort of balloon was coming out of Polly's mouth, containing the words, "That's for your royal prerogative, you blackguard." The balloon issuing from the mouth of the ogre, who could only be Prince Heinrich, said, "Oh, my succession, that such a small thing could hurt so much." And in the background, a fat woman in a rumpled ball gown and a huge old-fashioned helmet was clasping her hands to an unbelievably large bosom, staring at the fight with a mixture of concern and admiration, and ballooning, "Oh, my swain, I fear our liaison is cut short." Since no one else was saying much, but was simply staring, de Word said, rather nervously, "Fizz is rather direct in these matters, but amazingly popular."
You see, the curious thing is that although Ankh-Morpork is probably the biggest bully around, in a subtle kind of way, we nevertheless have a soft spot for people who stand up to bullies, especially royal ones. We tend to be on their side, provided it doesn't cost us too much.
Blouse cleared his throat.
"It's quite a good likeness of you, Perks," he said hoarsely.
"I only use my knee, sir," Polly protested, "and that fat lady certainly wasn't there."
"That's more pork here," said de Word. "She's a sort of representation of the city, except that, in her case, she's not covered in mud and soot."
"And I have to add for my part," said Blouse in his talking-to-a-meeting voice, "that Borogravia is in fact larger than Slovenia, although most of the country is little more than barren mountainside."
"That doesn't actually matter," said de Word.
"It doesn't?" said Blouse.
"No, sir. It's just a fact. It's not politics. In politics, sir, pictures like this are powerful."
"Sir, even the Alliance commanders are talking about you, and the Slovenians are angry and bewildered. If you, the heroes of the hour, could make a plea for a little common sense..."
The lieutenant took a long, deep breath.
"This is a foolish war, Mr. de Word, but I am a soldier. I have kissed the Duchess, as we say. It's an oath of loyalty. Don't tempt me to break it. I must fight for my country. We will repel all invaders. If there are deserters, we will find them and rally them again. We know the country. While we are free, Borogravia will be free. You have had your say. Thank you. Where is that tea, Perks?"
"What? Oh, nearly done, sir," said Polly, turning back to the fire.
End of CD 5.